Thanks for tuning into Upward Way Podcast. If you're looking to be spiritually blessed, moved, and inspired, there is no doubt you are in the right place. On our show, guests recount their encounter with Christ and how their lives have been transformed through the grace and love of God. And now, please welcome our host.
Hello and welcome to Upward Way. I am your host, Marlon Walters. My guest today is a worship leader, singer, songwriter, Theo Milford. Welcome to Upward Way.
Hey, appreciate you, Marlon. Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome, and it's really good for me personally, you know, seeing you as a student singing, to actually realize that several years later, you are still singing, but singing for Jesus Christ. So I can promise the audience that your story will really be impactful for them.
Yeah, I appreciate this, man. Thank you for this opportunity. It's good to reconnect after all of these years.
Yeah, so where I want to start is your faith journey as it is. Where and when did it all begin?
Thank you for having me, Theo Milford here. My faith journey started as a pastor's kid growing up in Jamaica. As you know, I'm born in Kingston, Jamaica, but was raised in Mandeville, Jamaica. My dad, who's passed on now, but he was a pastor and an educator at the University of West Indies College, which became Northern Caribbean University in Mandeville, Manchester. And I grew up in a pastoral home. My mom and my brother and my sister, it was five total, including my parents, three of us as children and my parents. And I really developed a passion for relationship with God and with Christ under the leadership of my dad and my mom. But we were also a very musical family. My mom is a very strong singer. My dad was also equally a great musician. He played the guitar and sang, and then both my siblings sing very well. And so naturally, I grew up in that environment.
Wow. So pastor's kids, you know, are dubbed PK. So did you feel any sort of extra pressure with that expectation? You did mention your family, you know, being musical. So I suppose it's not just to be the pastor's kid. I anticipate at times you might be expected, you know, to be singing, to be this model child, you know, don't make any mistake, be perfect. Did you feel any kind of extra pressure?
So truthfully, I can say that my parents, even though it wasn't necessarily pressured, we did know that we needed to maintain a very good presence when we were inside and outside of the, or appearance when we were inside and outside of the home. I wouldn't call it pressure as much as it was order, right? So we were raised to be very respectful to others, to have integrity and to be kind and loving for not just each other, but for other people. And so for me, now looking back, maybe back then I thought it was pressure, but I'm not the typical, it wasn't the typical PK experience where I felt a need to break away from the fundamentals that were established by my parents. We had order, but we also had a loving relationship where I was able to, you know, ask questions and get answers that kept me from straying beyond the, I guess, the norm or the expectation that one would expect of a typical PK living on a pressured environment, you know?
Yes. It sounds pretty authentic. And I love your response, the idea of order, because actually that's what good discipline creates, you know, that sense of order. So it's really interesting. Just to say, as we go through this interview, you know, I'll jump between your, let's say, current life, your past life, and of course, your musical journey, obviously. Right. But as someone who enjoys books, this is a question I don't necessarily ask too much, but I get a sense that you are someone who is well read. So, you know, what book or books, I would say, in addition to the Bible or separate, would you say have had the greatest impact on your faith journey? And there's a reason I choose book in this sense, because later on I will share a bit more why I mentioned that.
Yeah, no, it's a very good question. You know, truth be told, I am a strong believer that the most important book in my life is the Word, and my faith journey has been completely, I guess, established around a strong desire to search the scriptures and to pursue God more deeply. That has been something, or that was something that my dad instilled in us. And as we grew up, I found more of a need to pursue that even more. But outside of that, outside of the Bible itself, there are other books that kind of helped shape my realities. One of them was The Desire of Ages. Read that book in college and have reread the book as my faith journey has matured, and really just it's provided a lot of insight into things, additional context that I think I found in that book relative to the meaning of various texts within the scriptures. And from a faith perspective, my approach that I live under now and my understanding, a lot of it has been influenced by my interpretation of that particular book as well.
Yes, sound fantastic. Now I'm gonna jump to, I would say, what is happening currently. Since this recording, you have released maybe your first single, if I should call it that, and the song is dubbed "My Help." I just love the title itself, you know, without even mentioning the lyrics, just the title. It grabs hold of me at least. So I would love for you to share, you know, the story behind this song, you know, what has been the inspiration, what does this song mean to you, and also a little bit later on, maybe what impact, you know, would you love for this song to have on the listening audience?
Yeah, no, good. I appreciate the question. So, this song was a song that I wrote maybe about 8 to 9 years ago after the sudden passing of my dad, who was truly a man of God and somebody that I admired and looked up to both as father and friend. And it was sudden, it was unexpected. My family and I went to see him December, see my parents in December of 2015. And then again, that morning of March in 2016, got the call that he went out for a run with my mom and just unfortunately had a heart attack and never made it back home that day. And can't imagine that it was like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, maybe 5, 6, I can't remember, but it was really early to wake up to that call and really begin to question the Lord. Why would you take my dad? He was on his way to retirement. He was healthy. He was, again, a man of God, a preacher, an educator, and somebody that I know pursued a path that I think would have been pleasing to the Lord. And so in my questioning, to be quite honest, it led me to a place where I actually quit singing for a while. I resigned from a lot of my singing duties and really went into a dark place. And it was in that season of darkness that, through the influence of my wife, who continued to encourage me and pray for me and others as well, that the Lord led me back to His Word. And I got to Psalm 121. And I was reading it one morning, and it just reminds us, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And I kept saying it until I believed it. And once I consistently dwelled on that psalm, some melodies came to my mind, and that became the chorus of this song. And so essentially, this song was birthed out of a season of darkness for me. But God has now restored and reminded me that indeed I may have lost my earthly father, but God, my heavenly Father, is my help. He has carried me, He has encouraged me, and He has boosted my emotions to the place where today I can sing this song with a refined confidence, knowing that though my father on earth is no longer here, that my heavenly Father truly is the help that will sustain me and sustain my family. And so for others, my prayer is that they too will know that the situations and circumstances in this world and in their lives may change, but God, our Father, who is consistent, never changing, is the source of our strength and the strength of our life. We can run to Him and find safety.
Amen. There's a song that says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower."
Yes, sir.
The righteous
run in.
And they are saved. But I guess from my part, my response to what you have said is twofold. So one, congratulations on, I would say, this first release, which I know many more are coming. But in the same breath, I have to convey, you know, my condolences, despite it might have been, what, maybe, say, 10 years now. You know, the impact of that would still linger on. And just to share why I'd asked that question about book. So as an undergraduate in my very first semester at university, you know, your dad was one of my instructor for this course, Life and Teachings of Christ. And because of his own impact as an educator, I fell in love with his book, Education, because that was the book we use as the course material. And even today, I mean, I've read many books. Sometimes I don't have enough time to read anymore, but Education remains my favorite book. And it has to do with the way he amplified that book. You know, sometimes you are in a class and an instructor is presenting something and you get a sense that he or she is just bored, you know, just can't wait for the class. But for him, class was always high energy. I have, you know, benefited from his impact. So yeah, again, condolences.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, man. Happy to know his influence on your life is still remaining to this day. That's a blessing.
Yes, and of course you did make, I'm sure, what you know you'd want the listeners to get from this song. But you know, for individuals, this is where I'm going back. So you mentioned, you know, going through your own pain. I guess today many persons are going through the same experience, you know, might be individuals you know or you haven't met. You know, what word, you know, or thought would you want to share with someone who is currently dealing with something challenging, you know, seeming impossible? And they may be asking their own questions, you know, to God, you know, why is this happening? You know, what message would you personally want to convey to that individual?
And I do want to tell them Jeremiah 29:11 is a text that has given me peace in the middle of the storm. For this is the word of the Lord, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And the truth is, going through what you're facing right now is tough. It is hard. But somehow, some way, the Lord is saying, if you remain in me, because I know the future, it will work out for your good. And it's a tough saying. It's hard to receive it. And we look at scriptural references consistently where we question, why would the Lord allow this to happen? We look at experiences in the Old Testament with Job and losing everything and going through tremendous pain and loss. But then we look later on in the text and we see beautiful testimonies of restoration and, you know, just bringing back even double fold what was lost. And so I want to tell them to hold on. As long as the Lord gives you breath, that means he still has time. I say this all the time. As long as we are breathing, means he still has time to show up on our behalf. And so remember the word of the Lord, for I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper and not to harm. Yes, it hurts right now, but my plans, I know the future and I will give you the hope that you need as long as you stay and remain in me. That would be what I'd tell them right now.
Okay, thank you for that. And folks need to realize too that, you know, when we quote a scripture such as Jeremiah, I know the plans, the audience would have been in captivity. Mm-hmm. They were removed from their homeland. And so they would have been asked and questioned, you know, when do I return? Will I ever return? And this was the message that God sent to Jeremiah. I know the plans I have for you. So even as we wait to be restored, God is saying, I know the plans I have for you. So that is really indeed powerful. Now, in the context now of being a worship leader, not everyone, I guess if you're within North America, you might be more familiar, but depending on where you are, many persons may not be familiar with who a worship leader is. So I guess my question is, you know, how does that look, you know, being a worship leader? Is it that you have to write songs? Is it that you have to be the main one to carry, you know, how does that look?
So yeah, here in the US and I believe across the world now, churches have Back in the day, growing up, as you and I would know, in church, we would have a chorister, right? Somebody who stood before as a single person or soloist or musician, directing, say, the hymns of the church from the front, and the church would sing along. Over time, we still have choirs and the likes, but churches have now taken on an additional approach to congregational involvement, which allows for other singers to be a part of the ministry of music. And this is called the worship team or the praise team. And essentially, the duty of that team is to lead the church in the various harmonies of the songs that are being sung. So you'll have a soprano, an alto, a tenor. You'll have then a lead worship leader, which essentially would be synonymous to the chorister back in the day. And that worship leader would be the one who puts the songs together, whether it's hymns or contemporary gospel or contemporary Christian or spirituals. They would put that set of music together, and then as a worship team, they would prepare that presentation for delivery to the church. And that is what is called praise and worship ministries right now in churches, is a team approach with a chorister or a leader that has support behind them. And then you have musicians that will support as well. So in my particular role, that is my duty. I serve at a church called Community Praise Church in Alexandria, Virginia. And on third Sabbath, my responsibility is to prepare the music that will be ministered in the service for congregational involvement. So it's not special music, but it's music that's selected to allow the congregation to participate as we, as a group in the church, meaning the entire church, give glory and honor to God and to Christ. So that really is the object of worship ministry. I'm sure you've seen many different types and ways, but the right way that I understand it to be done is that it should be congregational focused in terms of selection of songs that bring glory and honor to God and Christ. It's not a special selection that you stand up and sing to them, but you're inviting them to worship as a congregation the Lord, for all that He has done in their lives.
Yes, indeed. As you said, I've seen different formats, and so in your mind, you could have one idea, but there are different ideas. But as you rightly put it, it's about participating in worship and lifting. So I suspect that your role as a worship leader would fit in well in some congregation, but maybe in some it may not, depending on, let's say, the format or style of worship in that particular congregation.
Yes, exactly. So, there's different, as you know, different types of churches, different approaches. West Indian churches, I typically tend to weigh heavily on the hymns of the church, intertwined with, let's say, gospel selections. In non-West Indian churches, I being born and raised in an Adventist home, my foundation is still built on the hymns of the church. And so you'll find a lot of times that my worship sets will include a lot of the hymns. But, different churches have different references for what their preferences are. And so we try to take an intentional approach to be mindful of that, as we put songs together that will allow them to connect to the song, but also allow them to ensure, kind of ensure that the focus is not on them, but on honor and glory to the Father and His Son,
Yes, indeed. The focus is not on the worship leader, but on God himself.
That's correct.
So, a few questions now, which speaks directly to your own personal plans and ambitions. I know, you have said that this song was, it's a brand new song, but in terms of when it was written, it has been some time ago. So, in terms of projects, on the horizon or future projections, aspirations that you have, what is coming up next? Do you have more EPs, singles coming out, an album that you're looking to put together? And in the same breath, what can the audience expect from your kind of music? Of course, it's gospel, but each person has a different, let's say, focus, different writing style. So what can the audience expect?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that question. So I've been writing music for a very long time. I think if I look back in my phone, between 15 to 18 years, I've been penning songs and I've never released them into the world until now. I was a part of a ministry at a church called Metropolitan SDA in Hyattsville, Maryland, years ago, and I released one of my songs as a part of the worship team ministry called Metro Lifted Worship. And that song was titled The Greatest. And so technically that would be my first release, but it was as a part of a group. But this song that came out called My Help is my first song released as a single under my name, Theo Milford. And there's a lot more in the tank. The plan is to release, at least a couple more singles. And then release the full project of 10 to 12 records, 10 to 12 completed songs for this summer. Because this year in 2025, I actually turned 40. And the Lord had just put on my heart to just release. And so I'm no longer holding back. I have a lot of music that I've worked on, spent a lot of time over the last year and a half to 2 years working with various producers across the world. And collaborating with various friends of mine to produce this material, and I pray that it's going to be a blessing to the people. But yeah, we have a lot more music in the tank. My Help is the first of at least 12 records that we're going to release here in 2025, and I'm just grateful for what the Lord wants to do with it.
Indeed, and you spoke about collaboration, which was a question I was gonna come to. But going back to my undergraduate years, I suspected, and you confirmed earlier that when I started as a freshman, you'd have been it was it would have been during the same year that you would have left. But I remember seeing you, singing with one of those choirs. It could have been the Inspirational Choir or Shahaya, which at the time, was
Yahweh.
had a name change. Yes. But I always looked at two young men singing on the choir, K. Anthony now and Theo Milford, and the expression in which you sing, was something to really behold. I mean, sometimes we would laugh, chuckle, but it was really more from admiration. So I can promise the audience that when you sing, it's not just singing, just the words, but it's from the heart. And so you get a sense that when this young man, I still will say young man, is singing, he's not singing because he thinks he has the musical talent only, or he wants to put on a show, but it's actually coming from the heart, giving true worship to God. So I am seeing that, they can be excited about what is coming.
I appreciate that, man. From a very young age, I realized that songs, especially Christian songs, just connected to me deeply when I consider the lyrical construct and the lyrics and the meaning behind them from my situation, right? So everybody writes music, but I learned earlier on to think about the music as it relates to related to my experience, and my response has been my response of what I feel within me the song is saying as it relates to how I am giving honor to God. And so that's translated into even the music that I've written. As you said, collaboration is it was a big thing, and a lot of the songs that pretty much all the songs on this record, I actually collaborated with my brother, who I look up to. We grew up in the same room as a child, and even though he's still in Jamaica and I'm here, we've just continued to remain in constant relationships, specifically as well around music and arts. He's an amazing graphic designer, so everything that's on this album, from the social media to the covers and everything associated with the media on this project, he's the one who's doing it and is 100% involved in. I wrote songs, and then I sat with him and we rewrote the songs, and I believe it created some beautiful melody, not much melodies, but lyrical approaches to the various songs were really I think influenced by the collaboration there. As you mentioned, K. Anthony has been a very good mentor in this entire experience, as he's released so many songs over the years, quality music, excellent lyrical content, focused on, again, a deep abiding in Christ and in God, and a very good mentor. So between my brother and K. Anthony on this record, my brother is the is the real collaborator on this record as it relates to the writing. But in the future, I hope to be able to work with K. Anthony on some stuff and with others as well. I do have some, songs on the album where I do have, additional features from friends of mine or industry partners that have sung on those songs. So I'm looking forward to those as well. But it's been a labor of love. It's not just me. Definitely want to make sure that it doesn't sound monotonous, and so it's always good to get other feedback in the lyrics and how the song is put together. And that's what my brother has been on this entire record.
Well, that is so
Andre
great.
Milford is his name.
Yes. Okay, so I don't need to ask. But that is awesome, that family support is there, family collaboration. And maybe one day I may have to reach out to him to help with some, graphic work. But it's truly, I haven't listened to the album yet, but personally, I'm excited to hear that. Yeah, so going back now to one or two more personal questions now. So as it relates to faith, sometimes just as you'd have poured into making sure that, the worship songs are ready and so on, people would invest into looking lovely, making sure they are physically fit, making sure financially things are good. But sometimes, their faith is neglected. So for me, what I'm asking, how have you been able to maintain your faith to make sure you haven't lost focus? Or maybe let me put the question in another way, what strategies have you utilized to ensure that your faith remains high and you haven't lost focus on your purpose and calling as an individual?
No, so for me, the truth is it really rests and falls in my relationship with God. This year actually I'm going back through. I've always desired to read the Bible cover to cover, and I've done it a couple of times in the past. But one of the things that keeps me grounded is knowing that every single day I'm spending time in the Word and meditating on the Word, and then spending time in prayer. And prayer for me doesn't necessarily look like prayer for everybody else, where it means that always on my knees, but it's consistently crying out to the Lord, whether I'm driving, whether I'm walking, whether I'm at work. It's just staying in constant communication with the Lord is what for me has been a very key driver in staying grounded. My wife and my family, well, my wife and my children are of utmost importance to me, and ensuring that they are also aligned has also been one of the priorities to make sure that I'm aligned. And so I try to, stay in the Lord's presence so that He feeds me, so that I can feed them. And then knowing that I have a praying mom who's still alive, and my sister, and my extended family and friends that continue to support me, has been another factor that ensures that I know I'm on the right path, because I'm not out here by myself. I have the support of others, and that's been a great blessing for me, to have that. But it starts with my relationship with God and staying in constant communication. I'm reading the Bible daily, again, going chapter to chapter again this year, ensuring that it's not just reading, but it's meditation. How is it applying to my daily walk? How am I applying this to how I'm relating to my wife and my children? How am I applying this as I'm going to work? And how am I applying this as I'm serving in the world? These are the things that I'm thinking about every single day as I continue to remain in the Lord's presence.
Again, it speaks to support, as you have put it. And I guess I'm going to throw a question your way about support. I think I said it to someone recently that, if you really want to do well, you need to have at least one person who's willing to support as you work on your project. So for you, what is how valuable, yes, how valuable and critical is support to accomplishing one's goal, and to actually staying on course?
Man, it's everything. I'll be honest with you. The truth is, as I mentioned earlier, I would possibly not be doing music now if I didn't have my wife push me back into pursuing this path. Because I'd given it up. I'd quit. I let it go. I was done. I was burned out. I guess you could call it depressed. I was over it. And when we had our second child, we have three children now. But when we had our second child, and he was growing up, and my wife reached out to me one day after a couple of years of being again, just on sabbatical, not singing, not taking any assignments, not doing anything having to do with singing. And she reached out to me and she said, "Hey, the Lord is telling me to tell you that your children need to know that He has given and He's placed an anointing on your life to lead worship." And my daughter knew because when she was born, she would travel with me all the time as I went from church to church leading worship and singing. But my son, he was born and I never got to experience that, and it was weighing heavy on my wife, and she brought that up, and that was the, I would say, the initiation of me going back to prayer to ask the Lord, if this is you speaking, make it clear. And it's funny that because she said that and I went back to the Lord, I got a call from the church that I'm currently serving at, who did for many years wanted to have me join their ministry. And but it wasn't the right time. I was already at another church serving, and in that season I had no capacity to take on a new assignment. But in this season, when they reached out after that experience with my wife and me going back to the Lord, it was perfect timing. I needed a new place, a place of hope and healing after what I'd gone through, and they became that family, Community Praise Church. And I can look at it now and say, man, it's the really the value of community is not something that I could take for granted, because if not for my wife, I possibly would not be where I am today, both having a successful ministry of music, but also having success in my walk with God and Christ, knowing that I'm not walking alone. So that is very important to me.
Think about the verses, whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good
That is a
thing.
good thing, yeah. Absolutely. She's
Just
my good thing, man. She's been a blessing. I mean, we've been married now for almost 15 years this year. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm so grateful for every day that the Lord has given me with her, because she's been a constant source of support and just allowing me to bloom in the areas where the Lord sees fit for me to bloom. So I'm very, very, very grateful. Extremely grateful.
wonderful. So this will be the final question I will toss at you. You have already given thanks, so I'll skip that one. But in addition to what you do as a singer-songwriter, worship leader, what is one thing that you feel God is inviting you to do right now? So if you could start any ministry or maybe expand on what you are currently doing, what would it be and who would it serve?
That's a very good question. So I have a heart. I have a heart for the nations. I am not sure where it's gonna go, but I'm starting here in my local area. And so for many years, I have a mentor of mine. Actually, the husband of my pastor at the church I used to be minister music at. It was Pastor Brenda Belingi. Her husband Ed Belingi. He has been a mentor that has guided me through being a real estate investor. And the reason why it matters is because I'm not doing real estate investing just to enlarge my territory, but my focus has been on using real estate investing to provide quality infrastructure for the underserved and the people who are not doing as well as everybody else. And so our focus has been to provide low-income housing here in the United States, in the state that I live in, for people. But it's good quality housing, not what they have here, a terminology called slumlording. It's not slumlords. It's providing a house that I would be proud to live in myself, and giving people the ability to enjoy, the underserved the ability to enjoy a place of refuge. And so I would love to do that at an international level, because I do realize that one of the things plaguing the world is that so many people don't have a safe place to lay their head. And unfortunately, until we, the people of God, are able to step in to provide those safe spaces and safe places, whether it's from individual housing to community housing, the bottom line is people are still sleeping in uncomfortable environments while being very serving of the Lord. And so my desire is to take the strategy that we're using here across the globe and to provide quality housing for parents, for children, quality infrastructure, running water, just provide that need that I know many places would value for the underserved. My focus is really on that here, and I hope to be able to do that at an international level and be the hands and feet of Christ across the world.
Yes, that is something that I'm sure everyone in society would really look forward to, because of course your home should be your castle, and once you can feel comfortable at home, There's so much more that you can offer. Let me say thanks once more, Theo, for taking the time out of your schedule to really share with us your journey as a child of God, as a youngster growing up in church, to now having your own family, to ministering. This is your maybe first solo release, My Help, and you have outlined the story behind it. And I'm sure, as you said, you know, there'll be quite a lot. And we hope and pray that this summer, as is your dream, you will have the full album released. So to my listening audience, we have been speaking with Theo Milford. He is a worship leader, singer, songwriter, humble servant of God. And I'm sure as you have listened to his interview, maybe you may want to, you know, rewind to re-listen some of what he has shared. But I guess the most important thing he's saying is that, you know, you can find help in God. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are currently or they have been. You can find help in God. So thanks once more. But as is customary on the show, Theo, do you have any parting words to share with the listening audience?
Yeah, no, I just want to let them know that they can stay connected with me on YouTube. My name is Theo Milford on YouTube. I've been blessed to be able to reach over 5.6 million people just posting Christian music and worship music to encourage the body. It was a ministry for me that kind of generated out of traveling and singing, and it was easier to post the link to the bands that would cover the songs. And so I started doing that back in 2007, and looking at it now, somehow it's grown to over 16,000 subscribers of people being blessed by what the Lord puts on my heart. So I just tell them to stay in touch with us there. And I'm also on Instagram under the same name, Theo_Milford. But most importantly, I want them to never let go of the Lord's unchanging hand. You know, we're in 2025, and already this year has started off with so many things that could cause us to shift our focus away from who God is and what his desires are for his people. And my desire, my prayer for each and every one of us, and I thank you, Marlon, for this opportunity, but my prayer for every one of us is that no matter what we face in this year, may we never let go of the hand of the Lord, which is strong enough to see us through, to pick us up, and to carry us. And that is my desire, that as you listen to even my music or any other music, that you will hear not my voice, but you'll hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you, guiding and directing your path as you pursue a closer and closer relationship with him.
Never let go of the unchanging hand of God. You've
Amen.
Been in tuned to Upward Way. Do join us again next week when we'll have another interesting guest sharing his or her story of faith. You may subscribe to our weekly episodes on the Apple, AWR, Spotify, or Podcast Guru apps. You're invited to visit Upward Way Facebook page. Click like and leave a comment. Until then, I'm Marlon Walters saying goodbye. May God bless you.
You've been listening to the Upward Way podcast, the number one audio production show for people who want encouragement and reassurance in a muddled world.